Morning, Adrian.
Morning.
Our Bible reading today will be from the book of Luke 14, verse 27 to 33. Luke 14, 27 to 33. It reads, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether it is sufficient to finish it? Let happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. 32. Or else, whether the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth condition of peace. 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all things, he has, he cannot be my disciple." Thank you.
Before we invite our preacher, Brother Paul, to bring forth the
manna. Good to be here, to be in the family of God. No better place than that. It's good to have our brother Powell with us. As we know, brother, we share your recent loss of your mother. We share the grief because that's the connection that we have as a body. We're going to start with a word of prayer for brother Powell, especially him and his family at this time as they go through this time of bereavement. So let's pray. Great God and Father in heaven, we come before you because you are a God who hears our prayers. You already know our hearts. And Father, you are aware of the situation with our brother, Brother Power, who has recently been through a bereavement of losing his beloved mother. Father, we pray for him. We pray for the family. We ask that you will be a comfort to them and a reminder to them, Father, because we know that his mother was a faithful server of you. And that is a great blessing. Father, we just ask that in this time of grief that he can be lifted, that he can be encouraged and know that he's a part of a wonderful family that loves him and cares very much for him. And so we pray at this time, Father, and ask that you will be with him and his family. And we ask this prayer in your son's most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So good morning, church. It's good to be here. Good to be here. You know, family, I think of family. It's incredible. You will never find a family like this. You know, the church is the most incredible blessing that God could bestow upon us through, obviously, our salvation, our eternal life, and being part of the body. It's interesting when we think of this. I was thinking, especially this morning, in the class that our dear brother Gary has been presented. And he was talking about numbers, wasn't he? Remember, he talked about two or three witnesses and talking about how God always worked in numbers. Numbers are so important. Every example in Scripture, there was multitudes of people or groups of people or you know, that went out to do tasks for our great God. And I think of the church and I think of the congregation, and what I think of is this. I think of a God who is very wise. We as Christians are part of the body of Christ. It's the eternal body. But God in his wisdom says, but what we're going to do is we're going to have congregations of my Christian brethren in areas, different areas. So, you know, you move to this congregation and you move to this area, you place membership. What you're saying is, listen, I'm coming to this congregation, I want this congregation to oversee me, I want to be protected. You know, God willing, if you've got elders, you can go to the elders and say, listen, I want you to shepherd my life. I want you to be with me and be with me in my life. And as Christians as well, we need to be there for each other. Again, in the class, talking about discipline, we often think of this as Brother Gary, right? He said a way of just getting rid of people or winning a case. But this is about soul saving. And this is what we're about. We're about saving souls. Each and every person means something special to me in this congregation, as I know you do for each other as well. And that is the blessing. And with our brother Power, we share the bereavement, because when one of our brethren is suffering, we feel that hurt. When one of our members is celebrating, we're celebrating. We're excited. When someone has done something successful, we're happy for them. And again, when somebody is going through a bereavement or a difficult time, that is part of it. We've been witnesses of that. Janet and myself, while she's been unwell, you know, the support of this congregation is staggering. What a beautiful gift last week that was given, and the encouragement that we received from this congregation, it proves that this is a family. And we will never ever find anything quite like it. When we become a Christian, you know, anything in life, you have to count the costs. You buy a house, and you have to sit down and figure out, how much is this house going to cost me? Can I afford it? Can I pay the repayments? Can I pay the bills? Can I do all of those things? If you travel, you know, you may think, well, can I afford to go? Am I going to have enough money while I'm there? Am I going to be able to, have I got somewhere to stay? And you sort of plan and prepare for your life. In the passage that we read in Luke 14, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, God is going to come first, okay? It's very important. God is coming first. Anything that stands between me and God will be a problem, because that is a hindrance to your relationship. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, because a disciple is a follower. And so we follow our Lord. And we put to death our old life, our old self, and we take on this new walk of life, and it is a sacrifice life. It's putting to death who we used to be and becoming a new person. But listen, it says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and first count the cost? So imagine that, I'm going to build a house. I did know a person actually in Scotland many years ago, and he moved to Scotland to build his house. And the way he went, and to this day, the house is still not built. It's in ruin now. Because he never counted the costs, and it cost him a lot. Cost him financially, cost him his relationship with his wife, through the conflict and battle, and cost him so much. Eventually, he left the church. Cost him his salvation. Not pricing up and weighing up the cost of things in life. But our Christian life, listen, when we become a Christian, we become people who are turning our life into a new walk. It's a committing, it's a pledging, it's an engaging oneself. It's a promise that we are making to our God, that you know, we are going to serve God. I'm going to live this life the way that God wants me to live the life. And so we as Christians have responsibilities to each other. We have responsibilities to ourselves first, that listen, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When this life ends, I can't go there and say, can I just tell you, like, I'm going to tell you about a brother in the church. You know, he didn't do this, man. Listen, God says, listen, you are the one that will be accountable for your life. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, our salvation is what matters. Our eternal life is what matters. And so therefore, when you're weighing up your new walk with God, it's understanding the responsibilities that we have. So you have a responsibility to yourself. You see, I can have my brethren come to me and say, hey, Paul, listen, you've got to change your attitude. You know, your attitude is not good. You've noticed this. It's affecting a lot of people. You've got a terrible temper. You know, you're very rude and very abrupt, and you're upsetting people in the church. And so I need then, if that is the case, I would need people to come to me to tell me that, so that I need to think I've got to change. You see, that is the responsibility of my fellow brethren to point things out in my life. But it is my responsibility to change it, not theirs. And so if Brother Gary came to me and says to Brother Paul, I've noticed something, I want to tell you now, I want to encourage you, I'm going to pray with you, I'm going to give you some scripture, and listen, you've got to make some changes. And I don't make those changes, and I stand before my God, and my God says, I said, well, you know, Brother Gary came, but I don't think he explained it fully, maybe. God says, no. You are accountable to your own salvation. And so therefore, take heed to the warnings, take heed to the messages. We have a commitment to each other because we need our eternal life with God. And so each and every one of us needs to be aware of that importance. If you know in Romans 8 and verse 32, what does it say? It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for you and for me, for everybody, for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This, brethren, is a commitment from God. You know, when I read this passage, and I've referred to it before in a similar way, this is a commitment to me and to you from God. God is revealing to us through his holy word that he wasn't willing to spare his own son. He who did not spare his own son, in other words, he didn't say, actually, I won't put my son through this. I'm not going to allow this sacrifice to take place. It says he did not spare his own son for you and for me, but delivered him up for us all. In other words, God had the power for all this to be removed, but he delivered him up. He delivered him up. He laid him there before the people in order that he might give us salvation. That is the commitment that God has to you and me. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How many days in our life do we go through wondering and asking for things that we need? How many times do we find ourselves in situations where we feel neglected and rejected and God's let us down? And felt like, you know, God, you've not really done what was needed for me. He says, how shall he not freely give us all things? Not all things that we want, but all things that he knows we need. He will freely give us those things. And the evidence is the fact that he was the one that did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That's Romans 8:32. God has made a commitment to you. And so we say in our first passage, when it says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not consider the cost? What about the cost that God had to consider for you and me in order that we can have our salvation? You know, how would you describe that to your salvation? That commitment he had to save our soul. Through obedience, of course. I have to obey him. I have to change and give my life to him. But he showed his commitment in order that we might be saved. For God so loved the world that we might be saved. That's why he did all of that. I will tell you that one of the things you'll discover about God is everything about God is complete and fulfilling, and it's absolute. We look in life for solutions. We look in life. We still look, even when we're Christians sometimes, we're still looking for some form of answer. You know, maybe if I just get a different house, or if I move to a different country, or if I just can buy something, it might just make me feel better. Or listen, God is absolute. He is absolute. Everything that you require, everything that is necessary, describes his commitment to each and every one of us. It's absolute. You know, what more could be sacrificed? What could I sacrifice? What can I give up? In comparison, I couldn't even try to reach that kind of level of absolute. Quite often the sacrifice that we give is minimal. We think we're giving him our best, but we're giving him very little. It could be in our time, it could be in our giving, it could be in so many things. But it's absolute. It's never ending. He supplies our needs daily. He doesn't just supply our needs when every second, every breath of air that you take is supplied by God. I often think about that, because that is the thing we never think about. You know, the air that we breathe, we cannot see it. But if you suffocate yourself, or if you go under water and you can't breathe anymore, you suddenly start to think, I need air, I need air, I need that stuff that I cannot see, that's there every day, that's even there when I'm asleep and I don't even think about it because I'm sleeping and I'm still breathing it. God is supplying, and his supply is never ending. The food that we eat, the things that we can think about, the things that he blesses us with. I want to tell you something else that is dependable. You will spend your life trying to find security in people. One of the things I discovered when I became a Christian was that God is dependable. I can depend upon him. I know that he will fulfill and see things through and take care of my needs. Romans 8:31, God is for us. God is for us. Nothing shall separate us from his love. Romans 8:39. Because he is for you and me. You know, God is there. I always think as a child, when I'd be in a school running race or something like that, and I'd see my parents on the side, and my mother would be there on the side watching you run. And I would always think, you know, that is what it feels like when someone is for you. They're there to support you and encourage you. God is for us. You know, maybe you may never have experienced that through growing up. Maybe you didn't have the support. Maybe you found yourself lost in the world. And I was talking with a homeless person not so long ago, and he said, you know, I feel so much on my own. Who can I rely upon? To which I responded, you've never met God. Because he's the one you can depend upon. And nothing shall separate us from him at all. He does not want us to perish. It's all 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. He doesn't want you to perish. God is not the one who thrives on the loss of his people. God is the one that is urging you. He's dependable to be there at the side, wishing you to complete, wishing you to fulfill your goal. He does not want us to perish. Often we think that God is a God who just leaves us aside to get on with life, and then he'll come and show up at the end to see what the result is. He's there willing you on, urging you on. Every time you fall, he's urging you to stand up. Every time you're down, he wants you to pick his word up. Listen to me, listen to my words. Every time you need to speak to him, he's listening. He's at your side because he wants you to make heaven. He does not want us to perish. He doesn't want us to be lost. God's level of commitment to you and me is far more superior than anything you will ever find in this life. You'll never find it anywhere else. And you'll never experience it anywhere else. When we think of Jesus, we think of his name that showers the universe with commitment and dependability. Jesus, our Savior, walked this earth. He walked this earth. He stood on this earth, this planet. As we are rotating around on this planet, he stood on the same planet. A and rotated round with him. And he breathed the same air like we breathe it. And he ate the food. And when he was doing his carpentry, and he would slip and he would catch his finger, he would cut and bleed. And he would probably bandage it up and wait for it to heal. Because remember, he never healed himself. He never did anything for himself. There'd be times when, he, as a child, as a baby, you know, he'd have been laughing and joking and running around with the children and playing. Jesus had commitment, and through his life on this earth, he fulfilled his tasks. Everything that was laid down in the Old Testament leading up to him, his name showers the universe with commitment because he was committed. Not my will, but thine be done. That was what our Savior did on the cross for our sins. Though he was in the form of God, he emptied himself. Imagine that. I always think of the rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler? What shall I do? Well, go sell everything you've got and come follow me. You see, what the Lord was saying was empty yourself. Just lay aside everything that you have and come follow me. Now, our Savior emptied himself of everything. Everything. And came down, taking the form of what? Not a man. Taking the form of a king. No. Taking the form of a slave. So, the Son of God becomes a slave on this earth. He humbled himself. That means he put himself lower than anybody else he could possibly want. This is, you know, you imagine the King of England walking in here and crawling in on his knees and sitting at the back and we have a fellowship lunch and he goes last and he takes what's left and if there's nothing he'll have. You imagine that. Our Saviour humbled himself. And then he became obedient to death. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. He became obedient to death. In other words, he was obedient and he stayed sound and committed to the point of death. I often think of the crucifixion of Jesus. You know, at what point would you give in? At what point would you say, I've had enough? Scourging might be a bit of that might put an end to it. Or maybe just the mocking, you know, I can't take the mocking. How many times in your life do you feel like giving up on your Christian life because somebody's mocking you? Or you feel like giving up on your Christian life because you're going through something? Or you feel like going giving up on your Christian life because life's too difficult and you're finding it a struggle? You're not willing to see it through to the end. But he says that Jesus became obedient to death. In other words, until the flesh was destroyed, he remained obedient. Through his scourging, through the insults, through the pain, through the dreadful torment that he went through, being nailed to a wooden cross, a rugged tree, nailed to it. On this cross, the form of God emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on the cross. That is his commitment to you. So we read our passage again, and whoever does not bear his cross will come after me, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and count the cost of the commitment. When you become a Christian, how much are you willing, how much are you prepared to see it through? Are you prepared to become a slave, to be humble, or to be humbling yourself, not to be made humble? I want you to notice something in the passage of Philippians 2. Jesus wasn't made humble, he humbled himself. He made himself in that way. And he was obedient to the point of death on a cross. And we as Christians have to see our Christian life through to the end. Through everything. We have to be obedient unto death. When we consider what God and Jesus have done, what is our level of understanding in relation to our relationship with them? Is it total? Are we totally committed to God? Are we totally committed? And I'm talking about commitment as in your personal relationship with God. How much commitment is it? Are you in your personal time? Are you trying to get to know Him? Are you trying to get near to Him? How committed are you? You know, do you pick your Bible up in the week every day and read it and get close to Him and try and draw close to Him? What is your commitment in that respect? Then there's the things that we do as Christians as well. You know, what is your commitment in the way that you live? You know, what kind of attitudes are you letting go of things, pulling things away? Is it a total commitment? What about your commitment to your fellow brethren? You know, are you committed? I'm going to make sure I'm there for my Christian family, and I want to make sure that I'm looking out for someone who's struggling, and I don't want to lose any of my Christian family because I am totally committed, like my God and my Savior. Your commitment lukewarm, the bottom of the barrel. You know, sometimes we give God very little and try and justify it. You know, we feel like we're giving Him the best, and sometimes we can find that what we're giving Him is scraps. And that could be of our own time, and we're all guilty of it, even myself. You know, there could be times in my life where maybe I could have just done so much more. And those moments have gone. Now, I can't go back to those moments. I can pray for forgiveness to my God. But I can look at right now and say, actually, I'm going to give my God more. I'm going to change. He's going to get the best from me. Because my commitment to Him, in comparison to the commitment that He has to me, sometimes the devil convinces us that somehow we get to decide our level of faithfulness. You know, sometimes we believe that when the rich ruler was there and Jesus says, go sell everything and come follow me, the rich ruler wasn't in a position to say, well, actually, what I'll do then, I'll get rid of some of the cattle, I'll keep some of the cattle, I'll get rid of the big house, but I'll keep the other house, and decide for himself. It was quite clear. And what he's looking for, God isn't looking for us to all sell our houses and throw everything away and just say, here I am, and stand in the street homeless. What he's looking for is what's in here and in here. He wants us to have an attitude that what I have got is yours. And if it's not being used for you, take it from me. I don't deserve it. Because what God gives us are things that we can use for Him. Now, the devil convinces us that we can decide our level. And we can make that choice. But when we look at it in that respect, we have to understand that we have a responsibility. And so Luke 14:27 says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. How can we be a disciple and not bear our cross and follow Him and come after Him? Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. We're talking about our minds and our hearts. And I want to encourage you today to make it your goal to say from today, you know, what's past is past. We'll learn from that. You know, we can repent from that. We've got, we can talk to God, He'll forgive. But what we can do from today is say, today I'm going to give better. I'm going to give more. I'm not talking about what goes in here. Because whatever goes in here has to start from here. That's where it begins. What we put in the collection bag comes from here. And it comes from the planning and the heart and what is contained within it. Jesus only accepts the best from you. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all of it, not pieces of it. In other words, go sell everything you have and come follow me. It was quite clear that what he was asking of him was everything. And this man clearly was a man who loved his wealth. That was the problem. He loved it. It was everything to him. And God says, I want, and Jesus says, I want to be everything to you. And so whatever you have, to his glory, let it be used. Whatever we have in our time, let it be his time. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. There's a lot there. Even the hidden things in the mind, I don't know what you're thinking, you don't know what I'm thinking. You know, I don't know what goes through your mind. But all of your mind needs to be dedicated to God. That means there are things in your mind that you've got to fight them off. There's things in your mind that shouldn't be there. Sometimes we think things but don't say it. But it's there. He says you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and with all of your strength. In other words, you've got to give every ounce of energy you've got. Sometimes when we put little energy into our Christian life, you'll find that you won't get the best. You won't be giving the best. But when we're giving all our strength, it means we're fighting everything. With every ounce of energy that we've got, till every ounce of our spiritual soul is aching. Holding back the devil, fighting off the sin, standing firm in the faith because we love a God with every ounce of our heart and every ounce of our soul, with all of my mind, that God is on my mind consistently and daily with all of my strength. Because God, everything belongs to him. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's all his. The earth is the Lord's and his fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. We belong to him. And he is committed and dedicated to us. And so I want you to be encouraged today to be committed and dedicated to our loving God. He expects us to obey all that he has said. It's difficult, isn't it? Because we hear things from here and we don't want to hear them. Because sometimes we're just given information and we just feel like, I wish I never knew that. I've got to change things in my life again. We have to receive God's word in such a way that when we find things in here that are revealed to us from his word, things that will make it better for you as a Christian to give glory to God, we have to be ready and willing to change and make those changes. He expects us to obey all that he has said, not pieces of it. Remember, go sell everything. In other words, he wants everything from us. God wants our complete obedience. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, and here we go again, do it all, in the name of the Lord Jesus, not in my name, not for my glory, not for my praise. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because it is through him that we are here today. And it's through him that we have salvation, through the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that God will bless you. Let me encourage you, we start a new week. I don't know, tomorrow's not here, and we forget tomorrow. Just let that be to another day, if God wills it. But today is what matters. Today is the day we have to make our changes. Today is the day that we have to make our commitments to God. Let us be strong. Let us stay faithful. Let us keep going. And remember that we have a God who says, I'm with you no matter what. I'll be there at the side and cheering you on. But I expect you to give your all to make it to that finished eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.